You're listening to Mountain Coast Vineyard. We are a community of people seeking to grow our life in Jesus Christ. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the message. We have been going through this book of James, a guy named James. Jesus' younger brother wrote a book in the New Testament, and it's packed. It's packed full of God's voice, right? And I want to say something, Dave. You can hear God a couple different ways. I mean, you can hear God a whole bunch of different ways. But one of the ways that you can hear God is through reading Scripture. And that's a really good, reliable way. Because you can hear God through other ways too, and you need to kind of cultivate and learn that. But Scripture, man, if you get into Scripture and like you're reading it and like that thing's sticking out to you, that's God speaking to you. Because I know, I guarantee if I ask, you can read the same verse 100 times, and there's that one time. There's that one time that you're like, ha ha, whoa, I've read that 1,000 times, and why now? And that's God speaking to you. And so I just want to let you know that God does speak, and he speaks really good through Scripture. So James is a lot about that. James is a very practical book on how to navigate your spiritual journey. The name of our series is called All the Difference. And this comes from a non-scriptural source called Robert Frost. Right? And he lays out this beautiful poem. At the end of his life, he lays out this poem. And at the very end of the poem, he says, two paths diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled. And that has what? Made all the difference. And so there's this concept in there called the paths to choose. And James is really good about laying these two paths in front of you and trying to help you choose the right path, because life is a series of choices. And so I was doing a little bit of research, and I came across this scripture in Jeremiah. I don't read Jeremiah a lot. Honestly, I should read Jeremiah more. If I can just confess, I should read the Old Testament more. I should. I'm a very New Testament guy. But the Old Testament is packed full of the character and the wonder of God, and it's amazing. So I came across this verse, and I want to read it with you. Look at this. It says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Whew, isn't that good? Like, that makes me, that's just like, I don't know about the, something about the word ancient path. Is that what it is? Yeah, the ancient paths. And then I started thinking a little bit about, well, if there's an ancient path, there's probably a new path. If there's an ancient way, there's probably a new way. If there's this ancient age, there's probably a new age. Right? There's a way that seems right to God, but that way leads to death. And God's letting us see, hey, take the ancient path. So you're standing there with the choices in front of you. Ask, and then walk in it. Isn't that amazing? So I think Robert Frost ripped it off from Jeremiah. Just saying. I think he did. Anyway, so we're talking about that today. What we're talking about actually is the ancient path, but I'm going to contextualize it because I have a different saying. I say this, grow your life. Have you heard that before? I hope if you've been around here any amount of time, I say that a lot, grow your life. And I want to just kind of define that because you can say it, but there's this intention behind it. And so the definition of that is in living intentionally, living in an intentional way that pleases God. Okay? Grow your life. Intentionally living that pleases God. It's becoming more Christ-like. And that plays out practically in a practical way. And so James is full of that. And so we're going to get into, James 1:19 through 25 today. I have like 14 pages of notes. You're not going to hear them all today. And a hallelujah from everyone. But we're going to get to what you need to hear, and I'm not sure what that is yet. And that doesn't matter. What matters is God is good. What matters is God changes lives. What matters is God can get in your heart and do something that you could never imagine. That's what matters. Is that truth? All right. Well, let's start on the James then. All right. My dear brothers and sisters, what's it say? Take note. And what's that next word? Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Is that good? I mean, really, if we just stopped on that right now, how could you not go wrong by just obeying what you'd read right there? Take note, everyone. So, let's just break this down. This is not just for the person sitting next to you. This is not for your wife or for your husband. It might not just be for your friend at work or your coworker or whatever. This one is actually for you. So I want you to look at it today, okay? It's not that it's not for your wife or husband. It's just one for you. Take note. All right, quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. We had this thing in kids' church. It's this little saying we taught kids, and I thought I would teach it to you. You might have heard it before. It goes like this. God gave you two, one mouth for a reason. Catch it? He gave you two ears and one mouth. He's trying to tell us maybe that we're supposed to listen twice as much as we're supposed to talk. Is that good? I mean, it's so simple. It's childish, and yet it's actually very profound. It's scriptural, right? Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And I don't know if you're catching this, but there is a growth metaphor going on in there. Do you see it? Why? Human anger does not produce. Produce. It's a fascinating word. If you're going to grow your life, the human anger doesn't grow your life that's going to be pleasing to God. But quick to listen, quick to hear, quick to understand, quick to really connect with somebody else without blah, 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 talking, really is going to be a huge pathway for the spiritual growth. It said uncontrolled anger leads to uncontrolled speech. How often do we find ourselves regretting things we've said in the heat of the moment? Right? What's that? Yeah, every time. Right? And a simple point. So the deal is, human outburst always creates carnage. It always produces a rift in relationship. So James's simple point is that human anger doesn't produce that is pleasing to God. So what's he say to do? Get rid of what? Moral filth. Isn't that incredible imagery? I don't know about you, but that I didn't know the word filth was in the Bible. Really, moral filth, that's pretty strong. But he says get rid of it. And the connotation there is to like imagine you're in these just nasty, filthy rags and you want to shower and get cleaned up. It's like, get rid of them. Get those things off you. Get it off you. Get it off of you now. Because you don't want that stench to stay on you. That's the language James is using. And what he talks about is that moral filth, which is crazy. Last week we talked about, we have this thing inside of us. It's called sin, right? And we all have heard the word sin. If you've been in church, we heard sin. But like, we kind of started looking at it like there's this appetite in us. There's this craving in us. There's this thing, this thing in us that just craves destruction. You feel it? Have you felt it? That way always leads to death. I said last week, it's appetite for destruction. And I'm quoting Guns N' Roses in church. Appetite for destruction. We have that. It's why like that little bit of curiosity is always right there. We always like, oh, what was that? You know, or you're online. Oh, hey, what, you know, you want to do the loophole. Well, you know, blah, blah. It's there though, man. That appetite is in us and we got to get rid of it. We got to be careful of it. Oh, all right. Do not merely listen to the word and what? Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word doesn't do what it says. It's like someone that looks at his face in the mirror, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into that perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. All right. How you guys doing? So James is a heavy book. You know what? James is the mirror. You ever thought about that? Scripture is like a mirror. Put that thing in front of us and look at it. Got a little thing, but I don't want... I think I told Lem this earlier. James is doing this thing in me where I don't want to make it. I don't want to read it with the lens of this is a bootstrap book where, like, get it together and pull yourself together and you can do it, rah-rah, self-help. It's easy to get there because James is really practical and it does a lot of this stuff. But we can't read it with that lens. So I just want to put that warning out there that it may seem heavy, but man, there's help. Dave spoke of it. You tried bootstrapping it for years. Doesn't work, does it? No, you end up in the same place. You end up in death when it's yourself. But when God comes into you, it really unleashes some things. Lord. Lord. Have your way with this, God. Have your way with this message, Lord. Father, I just sense you're taking things in a direction that you need to take them, and that's a beautiful thing, God. And so open our ears, open our eyes, open us up to what your scripture is really trying to tell us today. God, bring conviction, bring love, bring power, bring empowerment, bring your grace. Lord, cover us with your mercy and help us gain understanding of knowing who you are. In the name of Jesus, amen. Yeah. So again, this imagery is ridding of moral filth. It's cleaning out the house. And this is really equating to this. Clean out the sin that you know about. You know there's a difference between sinning and intentionally sinning? Okay? There's sin that we do, and it's just part of who we are. And then there's this thing over here that is intentional sinning that we, that's that destruction appetite that we, like, want to feed. No, we accidentally want to feed it. You ever done that? Oops, it just kind of happened. You ever done that one? You know what I'm talking about? All right. That's the thing that God's saying you got to get rid of. Because the deal is, it's holding you back from good relationship with him. And the deal is, it's going to lead to death. Wow. His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become what? Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of our sinful desire. For this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. I'm going to stop there for a second because this verse just stuck out to me. This is where it is. I think it's in here. Supplement your faith. So we have this thing called faith, which is our relationship with God, right? Hearing from God, obeying God. And faith is how we live. Faith is what pleases God. We get mixed up. We're in faith. That's what we're supposed to live, is this thing in faith. And then he's saying, supplement your faith with these things. Add these things to the mix. Right? God's doing all this stuff in your life. God's doing this transformation in your heart. Guess what? You can help do these things. Does that make sense? Supplement your faith. Isn't that beautiful? So supplement it with virtue. That's good. Virtue with knowledge. Knowledge with self-control. Self-control with steadfastness. Steadfastness with godliness. Godliness with brotherly affection. Brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you guys ever see that before? The supplement? I don't know, it's kind of cool. It helps me navigate. It gives me a little ownership in the stake, because I think we need a little ownership in it. All right. We've got a quiet crowd today. It's okay. You know what? Yeah. You ever heard of the dimmer switch, the dimmer light principle? You ever heard of something like that? What's that? Yeah. So there's this thing with God. There's this way that we need to understand how things work. And it's, I've heard it, there's many different names. It's called the dimmer switch principle. And it's something like this. When you're obedient to God, he kind of gives you a little more. He kind of turns up the light a little bit in you, right? Dimmer. Yeah, you get a little bit more. And when you're disobedient to God, he kind of turns down the light a little bit. Okay? Dimmer switch. Also, thermostat. There's different metaphors for it. And then I started discovering that there's a cultural dimmer switch. Did you know that? That as a culture, God might take away. We see it going on right in front of our eyes right now. Kind of crazy. But as a culture, we can also bring it back. And I found it fascinating. I went to Romans 1. You guys know Romans 1? The culture decided to trade a truth of God for a lie, and he gave them over to depravity. It's kind of fascinating. Proverbs 4:18 says, "The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, shining brighter and brighter and brighter until the full day." Isn't that cool imagery? Jesus said, "For the one who has, more will be given. For the one who doesn't have, it'll be taken away." Grow our life. Try not to be heavy. Dang it, I didn't want to be so heavy today. I want to be uplifting, send you out of here happy. We'll get there. We'll get there. There needs to be a little bit of course correction, but. So step number one is to get rid of the old. Step number two is to humbly accept the word of God planted. So there we have the growth metaphor going on. Planted is the beginning of the process of life. Right? I've said this before, that sometimes there's this meme that, man, this whole time I thought I was being buried alive. And then I realized I'd just been planted. Isn't that good? So plant, the seed has the life in it. The seed, the word planted in you has the life in it. It says accept it. It doesn't say work your tail off for it. It says accept it. James is implying that this new way of living isn't simply to pull up your britches and bootstrap it and live a better moral life. What he's saying is to accept the word planted and watch God grow your heart. There's another saying that says this: works are not the root of your salvation. They're the fruit of it. Works are the fruit of your salvation, not the root. So by nature of getting in touch with God, by nature of opening your heart up to God, by the nature of all that, guess what naturally flows out of it? Works. Good, beautiful thing. Dang, I wish I had the scripture up there. It says, looks intently into a mirror. You ever look in a mirror? Silly question. Of course you've looked in a mirror. If you haven't looked in a mirror, dang. Look in a mirror. What do? If you look in a mirror quickly, yep, hair looks okay, don't do that. If you look in a mirror, you just try and do the quick look, right? You look in the mirror, everything looks pretty good, and you go through your day. That's what I do. But then there's this concept scripturally that if you look in a mirror, if you start looking at it, you're like, oh, I didn't realize I had one really weird long eyelash. What in the world? Where did that come from? I must be getting old. Or you know what? I got a blemish here. Wow, look at that. I got a wrinkle. You start looking in the mirror, and you start to notice, right? To look into it. Well, we all do it. And that's what the scripture says, looking intently into the mirror. And by doing that, it can actually bring rest to your soul. And so there's this mode of practice of longevity. And I just practice that counts. Oh, man. This is interesting. I'm a huge sports fan, although I don't play anymore. I listen to a little bit of sports radio. And I hear this all the time, especially when things go bad. You hear the coach, you hear the owner, the general manager, whatever, and they're saying, you got to trust the process. You got to trust the process. You ever heard that one from a sports point of view? You got to trust the process. And what that means is something went bad. Somebody went rogue. And things went pfft. Right? And life feels like that sometimes. But what that means is that there's this bigger plan. There's this bigger picture. There's a coach that knows what's going on. There's an owner that knows what's going on. There's this leadership that knows what's going on. And although it may have fell apart that day, if you stick with the game plan, you're going to be okay. You're going to trust the process. You ever heard that? Because we're going to work through that process. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. I know that first part of that really good, but I rarely see the do not be wise in your own eyes and fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and bring refreshment to your very core. Isn't that good? How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So what does it mean to humbly accept the word? Oh, man. I got a question for you. Humbly accept the word. What happens when you and the Bible disagree? All right. Isn't that good? Have you thought about that? Humbly accepting the word? Who's got the final say? You know what? I want to say this, because we live in a very individualistic society, and that's okay. It is what it is. And it's good to work through these things on your own. But the Bible is really incredible to work through as a community. When you get multiple people with multiple perspectives looking at scriptures that are controversial, it's really important to get in a community to do that. I just, for some reason, felt like I was supposed to share that. That's a healthy thing. That's a healthy, healthy, healthy thing. Dave, I feel like you should come up here and start talking again. You're way better than I am. I honestly, I'm trying to look at my notes, and they're not flowing. And so, yeah, totally. This is the strangest thing I've ever done. It's the strangest thing I've ever done in public. It's the strangest thing I've ever done from the pulpit. And I'm being serious when I say that. I'm making a weird public confession right now that I'm trusting the process. I'm trusting the process because right now, like my process, I'm out, football. I'm out as a wide receiver, and the play's happening, and I'm like staring around looking at the fans. I'm not getting traded. Okay, cool. Anyway, are you comfortable with this?
Yeah.
You got 8 minutes.
Not comfortable with that. I need 30.
You cool with that?
I am.
All right, cool.
He's going to follow through. And he's going to do that for you because he wants that relationship with you. He's crazy about you. He loves you. He loves you more than you can understand. You know what God showed me this morning that just blew me away? My whole life, I've grown up in church. And I never understood this before. And Rogers talked about it, about the pearl of great price. Someone sees a pearl of great price and he gives everything that he has so that he can have that pearl. And Rogers says, wow, what if that is God talking about us? God is in a relationship with us because what he can do for us. He's in that relationship because he loves us more than he loves himself or anything he has. He gave everything because he saw something that he loved more. He loves us more than we can understand. We get in relationships because of, wow, what can they bring us? What are they going to do to enrich our lives? And God has called us to get into relationships to bring something. Bring wealth, bring wisdom, bring life to that person's life. That's what God has called us to. We're to go out into the world and bring life to the world. Not to see what the world can give us, but to see what the world can receive from us. Because we're going with the Holy Spirit. And I'm excited actually to be up here right now because God has called us, and I see it. He's called us to go into the world. He's going to finance that. He's going to strengthen us. He's going to give us his Spirit flowing in our lives because he has called us to cleanliness. The more of our heart that we give to God. If we give God 1%, he just multiplies that by a million. But when we go to God and we say, God, here's my heart, my whole heart, it's yours. Take it. I give it to you and I will never take it back. He doesn't give a millionfold. He gives all of himself, which is infinity. God wants to give us infinity. That's who he is. He's not waiting for us to leave this body and go be up with him in the heavenlies, wherever that is. There's arguments on where we're going. But it's going to be awesome because he gives us everything. And when we are working with his Spirit living inside of us, there is nothing impossible. Because there is nothing impossible with God, he's going to call us to amazing things. It's going to blow our minds. We can't comprehend infinity. We can't comprehend eternity. But when God moves in and touches our heart and touches our soul, we can feel it. We can understand it only through our heart and our soul because he's touched us and he's filling us. I think of the prayer of Jabez where he says, Lord, expand my boundaries. And I've heard so many preachers on the TV preaching, yeah, that's Cadillacs, that's bigger houses, that's, no. Okay, I won't say the word I was just going to say, but it's him. It's him. Expand our boundaries. God, expand us with who you are. Expand us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom. Give us strength. Give us everything that you have. He has storehouses of gifts that he wants to give us, and we aren't asking for them. We aren't living, expecting from him. Warehouses without end, and he wants to open the door and pour them out on us. He wants to do it this year before the new year starts. That's what he has for us. He has called us to that. All we have to do is say, here's our heart. Walk in purity. If we could do that on our own strength, Jesus died for nothing. We can't do it of our own self. We have to have that relationship. We have to be hearing from God. James wrote that because he was speaking to people. He wrote it to the people, God's people, who have already given themselves to God. Father, do that for us today. Help us to give all of our heart with the promise that we will never take it back. We will never take any of it back. It's yours. It's yours forever. Whatever you ask us to do, we will do. We are your people. We are your children. Work in us. Do those miracles that are just going to confound the world. We are in the end times. We are in the end harvest. Father, send us. Here are we. Send us out into the world that these people will not die in ignorance and in their sin. But when they look at us, they will see you. And that the world will be changed because of us. Do that work in us now. We give you ourselves, never to take it back. Amen.
Amen. All right. All right. Good word, huh?